timely article there in the Cairns Post today by Luke Mangan. Now, he's very high profile. Lots of people know, Luke, what he's achieved in his career. But what he says about this hospitality crisis is very interesting. You might have heard Margie Osmond on the program this morning talking about the challenge, for example, of accommodation houses, where they can't go to 100%, even though there's lots of people knocking on the door wanting to stay in their accommodation offering, because they can't get cleaning stuff. People with big hotels, oh, no, we're at capacity. And you say, what's capacity? Well, at the moment, 60%. Seriously, you hear it all over the place. It was in Port Douglas on the weekend. The same thing happened there. Are you full? Oh, well, we're up to current capacity, which was 75%. Why? Because we can't get cleaning staff. It's happening everywhere. Hospitality is really facing quite a challenge. Listen to this. This is Luke Mangan. Australia's tourism and hospitality sectors provide more than 1 million jobs and contribute billions to the Australian economy. As such, getting these sectors back up and running will provide significant stimulus our economy needs. But these industries, writes Luke, are suffering from a staff shortage that threatens to halt the economic recovery of many businesses. Those businesses are unable to meet consumer demand because they simply don't have enough staff. He talks about cafes, restaurants, hotels, tourist attractions, etc., unable to return to pre-COVID trading because they don't have the employees. And you heard from the reef operators this morning, they can't get staff because all of those people went on and became teachers and whatever else, and they're just not available to man the boats going out to the reef. So there's real crises here. Anyway, let's stick with hospitality for the moment because Luke's on the line, restaurateur and chef. Hello, Luke.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
This is very timely indeed. Margie Osmond was banging the drum on that front earlier as well. So tell me about the points you're making. Where's the future lie here?
Well, I mean, we can stay where we are. Hospitality, tourism, keep advertising for jobs to be filled. Positions vacant, as you mentioned, cleaners, and as I say, baristas, waiters and bar staff, etc.
Yeah.
Now, if Australians aren't taking those jobs advertised every week, over 10,000 positions available nationally, what do we do? We keep running our businesses at maybe 60% capacity.
Yes.
Example for ours in the city of the CBD, Sydney, a restaurant that was open 7 days a week, breakfast, lunch and dinner, which is now only trading 4 days a week, only because we can't fill the staff.
Yes.
So my question is, all the visa workers obviously went back now, and students and things like that. Things, you know, we've got to get to a stage where we start looking at the economy. And perhaps this is an option to bring these visa workers or students back that can fill these jobs that Australians don't want to take. And I'll reiterate, every hospitality person, chef, restaurateur wants Australians to take the jobs first. Very, very important that I get that message across. We want Australians to take that job. And we're not taking visa workers or students because it's a cheaper option. I really reiterate that as well. Not taking them for a cheaper option. Now, there are dodgy operators out there who may do that, but I'm not speaking on behalf of them. I'm speaking on behalf of restaurateurs and people doing it properly. So if we can get these students or young people out there correctly in a healthy, correct manner that the New South Wales government, I know, will do that, I believe we have an opportunity to get business back to 100%.
So Gladys Berejiklian, you make the point here in your article, she's a trailblazer in this regard, isn't she? And hopefully if she gets her version off the ground, we might see other state leaders embrace these possibilities as well.
Very much. And look, it's a tough position everyone's in. As you said, Gladys Berejiklian is taking some risk. It is a risk. But I think if it's done correctly and we get these people back, there's opportunity for everyone. Because if restaurants and cafes and bars and hotels are open 7 days a week back to 100% trading, that's, you know, jobs for everyone. Not just visa workers, but, you know, other opportunities for Australians.
That figure 60 comes into this debate in another way as well. I was talking, you probably know him actually, Bill Conway at Salsa Restaurant in Port Douglas. I was talking.
Very good restaurant, isn't it? Yeah.
I was talking to him last week. He can't remember a week where he wasn't working more than 60 hours himself. And of course, he has to ask his staff to do the same thing. They must be dragging their ankles because they'd be so tired. Extended weeks, extended hours every week, it must be very difficult.
Well, it's a good point you make because the same thing's happening all around the country. in regional areas and cities. Now, the problem with this is if this continues, we're going to get that burnout factor in the hospitality industry that the kids or the people working in our industries now think, God, this industry is too hard. Mm. The hours are too long, et cetera, et cetera. I can't cope. I don't want to do it. So that's just the roll-on effect, isn't it?
Mm, exactly. It's been very interesting, Luke. Good to catch up. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Luke Mangan, who's actually a legend. He's a leading restaurateur, of course, and chef at Sydney's Glass Brasserie, Luke's Kitchen, and also Salt. The time